From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, the past 24 hours has seen a significant escalation in the crisis in Ukraine, with Russia sending in troops to eastern Ukraine's two breakaway regions. The Russians are saying this is to maintain peace, but it feels like anything but. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has made it clear where Australia stands on this, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, and he's been condemning the Russians now for some time, and I think expecting some sort of move like this. Obviously, the situation continues to escalate and no one's quite sure where it would end. But Western countries are getting together a response. There'll be sanctions. Australia will be part of this. It won't be the first mover, but it's got its reaction ready to go when other countries do. Now, there was some talk after the weekend that our response might include sending some sort of equipment, not troops. That's always been ruled out. But Peter Dutton did leave the way open for equipment, but my understanding is that that would not be part of this response that we're expecting.
All right. And on other matters abroad, we already know that how the parties manage Australia's relationship with China is set to be a big issue in the election campaign. The government's been running hard with fear-mongering about Labor on this matter, saying the Chinese administration would prefer an Albanese government to the current Morrison government and so on. Last weekend, we found out that several days earlier, a Chinese naval vessel aimed a laser at a Royal Australian Air Force aircraft in the Australian Economic Zone. This kind of thing plays into the government's hands on the China issue, doesn't it?
It does, because the government wants to not only portray Labor as soft on China, but also more generally make national security an issue at this election, whereas Labor, of course, wants to concentrate on domestic issues, bread and butter issues like the cost of living and where we're up to in the COVID response and mistakes that have been made there and so forth. It's interesting on the question of China, there's an essential poll out just this week, which looks at the best party to build a relationship with China, and the coalition here trails Labor. The coalition's on 28%, Labor on 37%. Now, that is particularly interesting in light of the debate, but also because people have been thought usually to think the coalition is the better party to manage national security issues. We do know that over recent years, people have become much more suspicious of China and much more negative towards China. And of course, the Chinese government has provoked a lot of this suspicion and negativity with its hardening attitudes in recent times and its increasingly aggressive stance in the world and in the region. But I think that this poll would give Labor some heart that people are seeing the China relationship in a more complex way than the government is wanting at the moment to portray it. Two-thirds of those interviewed think the relationship with China is a complex relationship to be managed rather than being highly negative towards it.
And meanwhile, while we're talking about polls, the coalition in general and Scott Morrison in particular continue to slump. The Resolve poll this week had 56% of respondents saying he was doing a poor job or had been doing a poor job in recent weeks, while just 35% believe he's been doing a good job. However, he still leads Anthony Albanese as the preferred PM, and we know that the election won't be until May. So does any of this really matter this far out, do you think?
It matters, but it's the question of the degree to which it matters and the degree to which Scott Morrison can turn things around in the weeks to come. And I think Labor is not being complacent about that. It does know that he has the capacity to campaign very hard. Now, I think this capacity is somewhat diminished compared to the 2019 election, but it's still there. He will pull out every scare he can, as we're seeing with national security. It's not clear the extent to which that will work, but there's no doubt that the ALP is concerned about that particular scare. So I think that people are still keeping an open mind about the result of this election, which we know will also be in many cases a seat by seat one and will vary probably between states. I think that the campaign has a long way to run. Scott Morrison is starting from behind, but it'll be the sprint in the straight that will determine the result.
And presumably the coalition is putting a lot of its hopes in the budget, which is at the end of next month. Do we know anything more about that at this stage, Michelle?
We really don't know very much about it. I think that there will be obviously inducements to voters, if we can call them that, in this budget. It will be one also that the government will be putting a very positive spin on the outlook for the economy over the rest of the year. It'll be emphasising that it's a fiscally responsible administration, but that won't stop it, I think, opening the purse strings to the extent that it feels is necessary to win votes in certain areas and among certain constituencies.
All right, Michelle, terrific to talk with you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda. Talk next time.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.